welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
We're going to talk about vision this morning, the vision that God has given for us, and really because we're looking at that God provides for the vision. It's the provision for the vision. If we talk vision, if we talk faith, if we talk what we see in God, God will provide. We've just been singing that. We'll have everything we need. His love never gives up. His love will always remain with us. And absolutely nothing is impossible. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Perhaps if you could flip over onto my presentation. So what we're going to look at is a verse that I was praying through. Well, what do we do? Because there's so many different pieces that you could latch onto. So many areas you could say, oh, let's grab hold of that. And I've gone back to a verse that God gave us right at the beginning, that God gave me to go back through again on Thursday night, Thursday evening, just before I was coming along to God encounter. God just gave me three verses, and I want to actually begin there, although probably not say as much on them as I did on Thursday night, even though that was short. And this is one of those verses that God gave us right at the beginning that is foundational to who we are as a community. Hey, we're all part of this community. We're all part of this church. And this is part of us and who we are. It's part of our identity. It's part of how we work. It's Proverbs 18 verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. The righteous run into it and are safe. Yeah. It's why for, about 5 years, we ran the conferences that we run called Deeper and This Now. We used to have three of them a year and we called them Strong Tower. That's where the name came from. It was the idea of people gathering together. And it tells you there that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. If you know the name of God, of which he has many, it's a strong tower in which you can be safe. Okay, the strong tower is a Hebrew word that means really to be lifted up into a high place, a place of safety where the enemy cannot touch it. But as in all these pictures, as in all these things, as with faith, you have to take hold of that scripture for yourselves. If you decide to ignore God, if you walk away from God, if you walk in constant disobedience, if you don't ever read the word, if you're not praying, you're not secure in the strong tower. It's not that God's given up on you, but you're not taking hold of what he has for you. Because God hasn't made you a toddler or an infant. He's made you an adult human being. You are a person of faith. And a person of faith says, I walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, I'm walking by what God has said, and I am expecting in my life everything else to start lining up with that. Because so often, you can have things that don't line up with that. And you sort of think, well, what's going on here? Well, what's going on here is we have got to change things. We've got to take hold of those things. You look at the nation and think, it's in a terrible state. What's going to happen? Who's going to do something about it? We are. Amen, amen. We will pray and we will act and we will take action and we will pray. Amen, amen. That will change things. It is the church that's got to rise up. But the image that you've got here is of a strong tower that the righteous run into and are safe. There's a popular song that says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and they are saved. And from that, you begin to get a picture of people running into the strong tower and finding a place where they know God. Now, if you're not saved, you're not righteous. But then on the other hand, if you are saved, you're not righteous except by the grace and mercy of God. There's no good thing in any one of us. It's the thing that we can say, I am righteous, I am holy, I am a saint, is pure mercy and grace. It's something that is given to us. So anybody that runs to the right, run the strong tower, is one of the righteous because God will enable them to come in. If they're running to the tower, if they know there's hope, if they know there's a place where they might find an answer, God will enable them to come in. But it's a strong tower. I want to give you some different pictures of that strong tower or perhaps of our community as we sort of go on. So I think I just need to borrow some people, actually. And then you will be the cast for the morning. Sorry about that, Adrian. You know you're going to be chosen because you're refusing to look at me. Nothing to do with the community angels. Brian and Adrian and Alex and David and Alex and John and Rob. I'm choosing all men deliberately. And James, I'm going back that way. Could you just come down and join me? Oh, and you two guys at the back sitting there very, very silently, Josh and Steve. Do you know these two guys yet? This is Josh and Steve. These are our students up from Ruffin. I just thought it would be interesting to choose all men for a change, you know? So, what I want you to do is just get into a circle facing inwards like this, okay? Arms linked. Can you remember circles? Yep, looks like it's happening. Okay. Okay, so to begin with, we've got a picture of a strong tower, a strong community. These guys all get on with one another amazingly. We've just made these two Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. And that just stick. So it's a great community, but you can see the problem, can't you? It's really strong. That actually, it's so strong, it's become a little bit exclusive. It's great that they're having such wonderful fellowship in there. Isn't it? It's great that they're having such wonderful fellowship there in the middle. But what is anybody else thinking of when they're coming towards that strong tower is, yeah, that's great for them, but it's not for me. All right? And you might think, you might even, oh, I wonder if this stuff about Jesus is real. But actually, they're so busy being Christians and church that I can't even ask them. Who can I find out? I'm going to have to go and find someone else. There's the Buddhists over here. I'll go and ask them. They're sitting down having a party. I'll have a chat with them. Because I can't get in to the Christians, even though it's a brilliantly strong tower. Okay, you guys can sort of sit down here at the front or grab a seat, because I'm going to have you back again in a second, okay? But let's go to the next verse. This is really still talking of that picture, because that picture is still true, okay? The great thing about things of God is you can simultaneously have things that are all true all at the same time, but don't look like they can be, all right? That's the reality of God. He's beyond the way we think. He's beyond the dimensions that we live in. He's beyond time. So if you think he's beyond time, things which to us happen here, and then they happen here, and then they happen here, as you go through time, to God are happening. Okay? And that's one of the reasons things in God can be true, even though you think, but if that's true, how's that true? You know, it's like we have free will, but we're also destined in God. How do those two work out? We can talk about it, we can work it out, we can logically think it through, but at the we'll still come down to some conclusion at some point. Well, they still don't quite hold, even though I made sense of it. And it's because that's at 9 o'clock in the morning, and that's at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and it looks like the two are separate, but if you're outside time, they're together. Okay? And God is outside time. I mean, he's more than beyond time. This is Psalm 91, verse 14. Now, Psalm 91 is one of those psalms that if you're ever in trouble, if ever things aren't going your way, get out Psalm 91. This is your armory. This is your weapon cupboard, all right, for dealing with trouble and sorting it. So this is just one small verse from there, but this is still pretty good, just this one. But you see, I've put in bold, securely on high. And that's because it's the same word as we just saw in the other verse, strong tower. Okay? I will set him in the strong tower. It could easily be translated. Because he has known my name. This time, the translators in this version have chosen to remind people that God doesn't just put you in this strong tower, but he's also placed you in a high place. Now, when the psalmist wrote this, he had no idea that after the cross, the safe place would be, he would place us spiritually speaking, sat in heavenly places. You don't get safer than heaven. And we're sat in heaven. But like I just said with the other verse, we take hold of that truth. That's why Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, in my family, in my community, in my church, in my nation, as it is in heaven. God has given us this task. He's given us this purpose. If the church gives up on its purpose, there would be very little happening, because the world changes as God stirs his people. Yeah. All right? That's why Jesus came as a human being. He showed that there wasn't going to just be massive miracles wiping loads of people out anymore. That wasn't going to happen anymore. God would change the world through people, just as Jesus was a person walking on the earth, just as we now are those people. So this is talking of us, prophetically, because he has loved me, apology for the he and not the she, but that's the way this edition is. But because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Because she has loved me, therefore I will deliver her. I will set her and him, them, securely on high, because they have known my name. When you say yes to Jesus, when you say yes, I will follow you, yes, you don't really know what you're stepping into, but you sense that this is going to be right. You think you need to join in with what's going on. When you do that, God takes you from your position and places you in a place of security in him. In another place in this psalm, he pictures it more as he takes you safely under his wings. It's a picture of a mother hen gathering her brood. It's a different picture completely, because then you've got strong tower and the intimacy of the mother hen. Okay, so God uses different pictures to get across different truth. They're still all true. God is a warrior, but he can love you like a mother or a father. The parents love. Because he is love, and there is no love that's outside of God. Hallelujah. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. And then the great promise, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. That's what I've just been talking about. We're going to take hold of what the word says. Yes. I mean, this is basic stuff, really, for most people in this room, perhaps. Perhaps for some it isn't, and you're thinking, well, I've never thought like that before. If you're there, awesome. Be there. Come, join us. Join this community. Let's step in and say, we will fight because we will call upon the Lord. And we know that when we call upon the Lord, he will answer us. We've got these things on here, and we're calling on the Lord for the provision for these. It doesn't all come from our pockets. Okay, we don't really have anything in our pockets. We only have what God gives us anyway. But it's not a question of dragging it out of our pockets. It's calling upon God to say, you have given us this vision in this town to change a nation, to change a town, to be a city set on a hill, to be a light set upon a lampstand. Lord, we thank you for that vision. We pray that by your grace and in your mercy, we would change Scarborough. We would change the surrounding area. We would change Bridlington. We would change Filey. We would change Humminbee. We would change Thwing. We will change Foxton. We will change Whitby. We will change towns and villages all around us, because it will be God doing it through us. But for that to happen, we have to call upon the Lord. We don't sit down and switch off and, oh, God will get round to it. God will do it. I don't have to do anything. No, we have to do something. God doesn't call the lazy. He can call the lazy, but you can't stay lazy and walk in what we have here. And notice it does say, I will be with him in trouble. It will be trouble. If you're trying to change things, if you're trying to bring goodness and righteousness and the things of God, if you're trying to bring love and peace and joy into people's lives, you will get trouble. Yeah. You think, well, why would I get trouble for that? Because they won't agree with what you believe. So there could be trouble, but God will be with us and he will rescue us. And I love that. Look at that last bit. This is God says of you, I will honor you. Isn't that incredible? This is Yahweh. This is Elohim. This is Jesus. This is the Father. This is the Holy Spirit. However we describe him, at this point, God the Father says, I will honor you. I will honor him. I will honor her. I will honor the fellowship of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. It's really, if you have a concept of how amazing God is, how awesome he is, how perfect he is, how holy he is. When he turns around and says to us, because we know how we mess things up, we know how we get things wrong, and he says, I will honour Tony. I will honour Ron. I will honour Ruth. It's almost embarrassing, isn't it? The thought that God would be that audacious. I will honour David. Incredible. But yet he says that. He says it far more effectively as me as well. I will honour Pauline. That's God. But then if you think about it, when he was here modelling how to live a life as a Christian, he was the one that got on his knees and washed the disciples' feet. He wasn't afraid to get dirty to bless others. He wasn't afraid of being in a humiliating servant's position. Nobody wanted to be the slave that washed people's feet, but Jesus did. He didn't mind taking on the role of the foot slave, because it would probably have been a slave, or at least a very lowly servant. because touching feet was unclean. And, well, who likes touching feet, eh? Well, I don't even like touching my own feet. I will be with him. I will rescue him. Let's go on to the next bit. This is now, we're in Psalm 101. And what I really like this is it just re-emphasizes the first verse we looked at. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous shall run into it and they are saved. This one, remember, the securely on high is the same strong tower, the same place of safety. Before, but he sets the needy securely on high, away from afflictions, and makes his families like a flock. So he doesn't, it's not, I think what I love about that is the inclusivity of it. It's that he's going to welcome in all of the needy. Who are the needy? Well, they're not just the poor, though they're certainly the poor. They're not just the sick, though they're certainly the sick. The needy are anyone that don't know Jesus. Because actually you can be very rich and you can be very wealthy and you can look very secure, but you are needy spiritually. You are dead spiritually without God. And God has created this strong tower for everyone. That's not a surprise, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but to give them freedom, to give them a hope, to give them something that will pull them out of where they are. So, let's have our gentleman back. Go back into the strong tower, all facing in. I'm just doing this because sometimes pictures help us remember. I want us to remember this. This is... There they are. Strong. Powerful. Now remember, this picture is also correct. There's nothing wrong with that picture. We need as a community to be strong, secure, looking to one another, supporting one another. And what it is keeping out is the things that are wrong. So that the sin, the sickness, the deceit, the abuse, whatever, if I just be abuse or sickness for a minute, I'm trying to get into this community and they're not going to let me in because they're calling upon the Lord. I'm looking for some weak spots. Ow. Oh, never get your head between two men's thighs. Oh. You can't get in. But they can still be strong and secure and look out. So if you all turn round. Now, it's just as strong. Their backs are still not in danger because they're protected by everybody else. But you see, in community, you've no longer got to keep looking behind you, because what a community does, what a family does, is you start to look out for one another. So you're not going to get attacked from behind if your friend, if your brother, if you're another Christian in the place, is standing there calling on the Lord for you. So I could still come along as disease or ill health or whatever is of the enemy, and now they can even see me coming. One of the other meanings of the tower is the watchtower. You've got like the round picture of the watchtower. You can see on every angle there's a pair of eyes looking out for the enemy to protect that community. Even if I get on the stage, I still can't get in unless I could try an almighty leap. And then they'd just move. And I'd end up on the floor, so we won't do that. But what about if somebody comes along to be part of that community that doesn't know the Lord? Let's Lottie, could you just be unsaved for a minute? So, if you come over here, and you're wondering, you're seeking, and you've seen this city on a hill, but now, instead of it looking impenetrable, there are some people looking. And because the people are looking, as she approaches them, they can let go. And she's welcome. Well, they can take her right on, yeah. And she can join in the community. If she's particularly vulnerable, and sometimes when people join, they aren't ready to stand on the walls yet, she could even go right inside and be protected until she knows who she is in Christ, until she knows what it is to call upon the Lord. The rest of the community keep them safe. Because many people are coming to us and have come to us that aren't ready to stand on the walls yet. They probably don't even know Jesus yet. She's got to talk to these people on the walls. Now, you see, the thing is, there's just one little problem left. She's now on her own inside. So, in fact, if every other person, roughly, turns inwards... Well, I just thought it would be fun to see you sort it, actually. And this is how the enemy sows confusion. You begin to get the picture. It's not just about looking out. It's about looking after each other. It's about welcoming the vulnerable and the poor and those that don't yet know the Lord to come in and become part of that community. And because the community is growing, obviously you'd expect there to be more people in the middle. But as I said, as Lottie grows, as she begins to grow in God, and that really is individual to the individual. You can't say, oh, when she's been in the church 6 months, she'll be on the wall. She might be on the wall in 6 days. It might be 6 years. Hopefully not. So let's assume it was 6 days for Lottie. So she just joins in. Just join in a place and don't worry about which way you're facing, for goodness sake. And of course, what happens is this community is going to grow with stronger and stronger people, both looking out and looking in. And of course, there's one area we've missed out. And this is something that they're going to do as well as looking out, as well as looking in. Other times, they're looking up. Because the source of that secure, looking up, that's that way. The opposite of down. Excellent. Who hired this team? Thank you, gentlemen. As well as looking towards one another, as well as looking out, we've got to be looking to the Lord, because our source of our identity and who we are has to come from Him. That's how you join the walls. Okay? You become secure. Alex doesn't become secure in his role as music director or children's leader for Friday Club, because if he does, he will find that that's not got a secure foundation, because that's not the identity that Christ has given him. The identity that Christ has given him is Alex Bryan in Christ. That it's him, it's the individual, unique Alex that he is in Christ. Because every person is an individual. Every person reflects part of the image of who God is. Every person enriches who we are. And the more different they are, the more potential there is to enrich that community. It's very boring if we were all, I don't know, white middle class men. You know, it'd be a very boring community. We might get on really well, but no. It'd be a very boring community, because you start to discover who you are by who you relate to. And you find that somebody else thinks about something completely different to you. Now, the world takes a step back and says, you're the enemy, I'm going to build a wall. But the Christian world says, come in, come and join us. Teach us what you know. You don't compromise Christian beliefs. I'm not talking about that. But you're still welcoming people into that community. And this is the reason they're going to come. This is the reason they are coming. Not because we're famous, but they're going to see love. It was heard that Jesus was in the house. The way that people, it's Mark 2, verse 1. Noised is the King James Version. I like that, because you get this picture of just this noise in the community about where Jesus is. But of course, how people often see Jesus initially is love, because Jesus is love. So they see the love in a community and recognize Jesus. I mean, I pray by grace, as God works through us and changes us, because we make so many mistakes and we do hurt one another and we do let one another down, even though we don't want to. That still the love of God coming through us would touch others in our community. The poor, the vulnerable, the rich and the wealthy and everyone else in between. Because all are the needy that need to be in that strong tower. Amen. And why are we doing this today? Because we're reminding ourselves that when we give, this is what we're giving into. This is why it says in the word that we need to give with faith, because everything without faith is actually sin anyway. So you want to be able to give with faith. What does that mean in terms of this? It means you are giving with an expectation that what you give will change things, will multiply, will be used by God. So this is another one of those key verses that God gave us in the beginning. We had Proverbs 10:18. This was another one. I'm not focusing on this one today, but it's important to remember this is key to our vision, that people will hear that Jesus is in the house. And when we talk about the house, we should also remember we're not just talking about the summit, we're talking about the household, the people of God, the oikonomos, as it's called, the economy. So, here's two taglines that God also gave us. Couldn't really ignore those. That picture of the strong tower from our gentleman and our lady visitor coming and becoming part of that community was this picture here. Welcome. Welcome home. Now, what's significant about the difference between a welcome and welcome home? If you give somebody a welcome, you're pleased to meet them. It's great to see them. We might go out for a cup of coffee. We might do something together. But when it's welcome home, it's come and join with me. Let's have a meal together. Let's have covenant together. Let's sit down and talk with one another. We're welcoming people in because this is a place to belong. Now, if you're having a particularly stressed week, it can feel like a place you want to run away from. But it's always a place that you belong. It's a place where you know you'll walk through the door, whatever you've done, whatever's gone on, however bad, however good, you'll be welcome. Because this is home. It's like the parable of the prodigal son, the forgiving father. The son went home. He was welcome. He squandered everything, but when he went home, he was welcome. It was a place for him to belong. And everybody that walks through that front door, and everybody that walks into our house church groups, and everybody that walks into our other activities and what goes on, there's a welcome home. This is a place where you can belong. And that will be before they believe. Because if we want people to believe in Jesus before we will love them, we've made our love quite diabolic, quite horrendous. We're saying, I'll love you when you've sorted your life out in a way that I can accept. Well, I'm just very happy that that's not how God loves us. Why were we still sinners, it says in the New Testament. While we were still sinners, God loved us. And we are in his image. And this whole thing about hate the sin and love the sinner, you have to be really, it's a thing that people say, you have to be really careful. Because often what people mean is, hate the sinner, hate the sin, they'll be all right, so we'll love them out of a sort of a sense of duty. You know, they're kind of trying to get round that it just says love them. Love them where they're at because you want them to come from where they're at and be restored into a place and a relationship with Jesus by saying yes to him. But before they get there, you'll be looking down the road for them to coming. You'll be giving them a place where they can belong and feel part of something because they will be part of something. Not because you're just waiting for them. Because if the love is unconditional, it shouldn't make any difference how we treat them. We will accept them. We may not accept everything that they do or believe or go on. That's absolutely true. But we still have to overcome that and accept people for who they are without a sense of disgust or judgment. Because disgust is judgment. And it's hard because there are some things which you probably think, oh, I just don't. Yeah. But actually, Jesus would still sit next to them, and from his eyes there would be no rejection at all. Just complete love. I am here for you. I died for you. He would be welcoming her in. So I tell you to go and make disciples in every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why have I put that up? Because this community, we've shown it so far as a static tower, is actually one that's connected far more than arms around one another. If you go to a scientific level, subatomic level, you find that the particles, the power that creates an atom bomb, is not actually in the neutrons and the protons and the electrons, it's in what connects them. The power is in the connections. You've got this model of spinning particles. And in the Trinity, you've got this three of relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, defined by relationship, Father, Son, and the breath of a literal translation of Spirit. They are connected by love. It's the strength of God, the identity of one God, is He is one love. He is one God. And so strong is the connection between the three that they are one God. They're not separate people. But that's the Trinity for you. As soon as you start talking about the Trinity, it's like, I got it. Oh, but then there's that. I got it. Then there's that. But remember the whole thing that God lives in a different dimension to us. But He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And those names imply, well, they don't imply, they are relationship. And so that community that you come into, this tower here, you've got a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit weaving in and out of that community, connecting that community with the love of God. So the strength of that community becomes the love that's shared amongst them. Do you get that picture? It's not actually a static picture. I could get the men up to do it, but they'd get embarrassed because it would look like some kind of dance as they moved and twirled around one another. And because if you're going to have a relationship in a community, I don't always spend my time with Adrian and absolutely nobody else. It's great being in the community,
oh,
isn't
it's
it?
Fabulous.
Fabulous.
Yes,
shall we have
yes,
breakfast
yes.
tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Lunch?
Lunch as well. Yeah,
dinner?
Yep, yep.
Dinner?
Oh, yes.
Dinner?
Yeah. What were we going to do for supper?
I don't know. I thought we'd go to your house. Shall
okay,
we stay at your house?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
following day. Oh,
yeah. Don't bring
don't want the rest.
No, don't bring
spoil it. We're just so good.
Oh,
it's amazing. You're just so lovely.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not going to be much of a community, is it? Sorry? He's doing sit-down comedy. But you could see what I mean. You in a relationship, you'd be moving around, talking to different people, going to different places, spending time here, sitting down, standing up, sometimes running, sometimes walking, sometimes exercising, sometimes spending time at Yay Cafe, sometimes at the Hub, sometimes, you know, there's all these different places that we go to, and we commute. We have community. There's a word in there somewhere. Yeah? Well, what we're creating here is a picture of how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are relating. They're not like static in heaven. There's not Father sat on the throne, Jesus sat there, and the Holy Spirit hovering as a little dove. They're a dynamic group personality that are interacting with people here on this planet. So, just to apparently change everything, who's that? Yeah, it is. It's Isaac Newton. I thought I might fool you because it's not the classic picture. He's a bit younger than in when you see most photos of him. Photos? Paintings? There aren't many photographs of Isaac Newton. he may have wanted to invent a camera, but he hadn't. Why have I put up Newton? Because this movement, this interplay, is related, believe it or not, to physics. And I just want to give you a couple of pictures of physics, because like I was giving you this picture here, I want to give you something different. And some of you would have just switched off straight away. It's like, yeah, that was school. I don't do that. But just listen. And I've got some really colourful pictures to show you. So, you know, just hang in there for the colour pictures, if nothing else. But when you were taught about Newton, you were probably taught, when you learnt science, you would have learnt his science, because that's really when the Great Reformation began. He was one of the kickstarters of that before Kickstarter was invented. And his philosophy, as he would have called it, was trying to interpret and trying to understand the world. And one of his famous things are his principles of the laws of motion. And one of those is, for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. Okay, so Brian, if I could just borrow you again, a bit more stand-up comedy. Imagine you're a skater. You were expecting that, surely? Yeah. So ice? We'll go ice. We're skating on ice, and we're skating towards one another, and we meet one another. What happens is we go away from one another. Okay, because there was an equal and opposite reaction. Thank you, Brian. That's Newton's third law of motion. If you never understood it at school, that's it, okay? There's a bit of math involved, but you don't need to worry about that stuff. When I'm walking along this floor, I don't know why I'm walking like that. That could be my new style for through Scarborough. Get me noticed. Anyway, what happens is I don't end up in what's underneath us? Blue Lounge, or is it probably the Scarborough Flyer just here? But whatever it is, there's a downstairs. But miraculously, I'm still here, even though I'm walking strange. And that's because as I press down on the floor, there is thankfully an equal and opposite reaction that keeps me on this level. When you sat on the chair, there was a very blessed reaction from the chair in that it pushed you back up again. As you landed, every ounce of you on that beautiful chair that you're sitting on right now, it held you. There was no collapse. If there had, you'd have ended up on the floor, and the floor would have been the reaction that kept you in place. Okay? So for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. Got it? The problem is that science in the 20th century really showed that most of that's not true. It's still useful, particularly in engineering, to help understand how machines work, because it basically explains how machines work. It doesn't explain how the universe works. It just doesn't work that way. It's great. It was simple. We had maths for 400 years based on it, and it's not right. You'll still learn it in school today because it's still useful for some things. And it helps everybody like teachers to look intelligent. I mean, if you're going to do physics GCSE, you've got to have something to do in it, haven't you? And if you start with relativity or quantum mechanics or chaos theory or complexity theory, you're just going to be in chaos and complexity, really. So you start with Newtonian physics. And it's really easy. And the funny thing was, in the Western world, our whole mindset shifted to a Newtonian level. So you'll find businesses run on this kind of bound. You put a boss in charge, and the boss says this, and that happens. And you plan everything out super nicely. You've got all the plan, and if we put this into place, this will happen, because for every action, there will be an opposite and equal reaction. Lovely, great theory, everything's sorted, none of it works. Businesses end up in huge messes because of different things that happen. Now, one of the things that happened to upset this wonderfulness is one of these little things. Although I do reckon, even though it kept telling me that was a butterfly, it looks more like a moth to me. But have you heard of the butterfly effect? Do you know what it is? Falls South America or something, doesn't it? Well, the original guy that said it, a guy called Edward Lorenz, he described it as a butterfly could flap his wings, or hers presumably, no sexism in butterflies, in South America, and and the result of that is a storm in Central Park. In other words, that's hardly an equal and opposite reaction to the action. Flap, flap. You know, what a cruel butterfly. You realize what you're going to cause, the trouble you're going to cause, oh, South American butterfly, in Central Park in New York. I mean, they're cruel butterflies. All that flapping is causing storms everywhere. No, that is not what it's saying. But what it is saying is that something quite small can have a very unexpected effect. You can call an election with a massive majority and think that it's going to give you a strong and stable foundation, because for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. We're going to do well here. Did that work? No. That's the butterfly effect in politics. You could do something relatively insignificant and it can go ballistic. You can do it in churches as well. You can do something that you think is insignificant, and it can have a ripple effect amongst lots of people that you just weren't ready for. Because the world isn't static. The world isn't this model of action, reaction, action. It's this constantly, it's like the Trinity. Surprise, it's all in his, it's he made it. It's all moving. Even when you look at your hand, it looks pretty solid there. But your hand is not solid. I know you're just thinking I'm an idiot now, but it's made up of all these atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, is what make up atoms. And they're all, you can't see it because it's a subatomic level. They're all swirling and moving around. So it just appears solid. When they're not so tightly connected, these atoms, with the gaps in, you get liquids. And when they're even more far apart, that's what a gas is. It's just more spread out so you can get through the gaps. So, that's the butterfly effect. Small things can make huge differences. And in fact, it was the theories that developed from this changed the way people predict the weather. And that is where you get those things that I mentioned, complexity theory and chaos theory. We're not going there, you'll be pleased to know. But we are going to quantum mechanics. That is quantum mechanics. You think, how there is that quantum mechanics? Well, what that is trying to show is a picture of what's happening on subatomic levels, of all these particles acting and reacting, and they're all different to one another, hence the different colours and different sizes and sort of what looks like some kind of wave formation. That's a bit like the Mexican wave. You know, when all the particles get together around the football ground and they're all doing this, you get this wave of pattern. The same thing happens in particles. When they're all getting together, you get a Mexican wave and they all cheer the football. Oh, I might have gone distracted there. But they get in patterns and then we'll move in patterns. And so if one small particle initiates a huge pattern, that's how you can have something really tiny making something absolutely huge. But this is actually what Paul talked about, the apostle, when he talked about there being one body in Christ. And he said, if the little toe, I don't know if he used the little toe, I can't remember what he used, but if the little toe hurts, the whole body knows about it. Have you ever had a paper cut? I mean, what an insignificant wound is a paper cut. How irritating and painful is it? You know, it affects your sight. Look at it. It affects your mouth. I don't know what I've done. It affects how you feel. Every time you touch something else, it's, oh, I forgot about that for a minute. You know, they're horrible, aren't they? There's something gone wrong there. Just a tiny little thing. It's having a massive unproportional effect. But that was what Paul was saying in the body. That's why everyone is so important. There are some that think they're less important than others. It's rubbish. We're all moving and twirling around. This is a picture of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. All moving and twirling around, all different colours, all different roles, all doing different things, coming and interacting and having breakfast with one another. I'll have to now, won't I? All things are reacting to one another, in other words. They're all gaining strength and energy from one another, because how we actually grow together, how we actually grow as a community, is through relationships. Obviously, some people you'll see more often than others. Some people you'll know much better than others. That's normal. We're at different places on that diagram. I love that diagram. It's so pretty, isn't it? But have you ever heard of Schrödinger's cat? We should do that as well. Schrödinger's cat. It's more physics. Yeah. Well, how many of you have heard of it, just out of interest? John, Kate, Dan at the back, Martin and Teresa, Schrödinger's cat. He's a German, I think. Looks like a German name. S-C-H-O with two little dots over the top. Schrödinger. Yes, I probably don't pronounce it correctly. It's German and I'm English. Whenever did an Englishman pronounce German correctly? Come on, give me a chance. Anyway, he was a physicist in the 1930s. Dodgy time to be a physicist anyway. But he was a physicist in the 1930s. And he was trying to explain quantum mechanics to Einstein. Because Einstein at that time said quantum mechanics was a load of rubbish because it was too difficult to understand. He really did, basically along those lines. And so Schrödinger, as part of explaining, made up this cat experiment. And the reason he made this cat experiment up was to show the nonsense of quantum mechanics, which happens to be true. It's very interesting that science is like faith. There are things which are true that cannot both be true, but they are true because they're both observed. And this was, yeah, I know, it's mad. But it's in physics. But that's not surprising, because physics is the study of God's world that he's created. So we're going to discover God if we study physics. You can't not. Chemistry, biology, whatever you study of creation, it will lead to him. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So even Schrödinger's cat. Now, I would hasten to add, this is a thought experiment. No real cats were involved, which is just as well. Now, the funny thing is, being a physicist, he couldn't do it simply. You know, if he'd been an engineer, there'd have been a simple, elegant solution that everybody could have copied. But he wasn't. He was a physicist. So he went OTT. So he said, there's this box. And in the box, I'll show you a picture of what's going to happen. There we go. Okay. In the box is some radioactive material. He didn't really need radioactive material, but he had it because he's a physicist. Okay? Then you've got to have a Geiger counter, because what's a physics experiment without radioactivity and Geiger counters? Okay, Geiger counters measure the level of radioactive decay. Now, there was a hammer and the flask, which in that picture is sort of glowing green. It should actually be blue, to be honest, if it was strictly, is, what's it called? Hydrocyanic acid. From where we get cyanide, which comes from Prussian blue, the paint. That's, anyway, won't go there. That's why it should be blue. But forget all that. Just remember Schrodinger's cat. As you can see, Schrodinger's cat looks happy and dead. Okay? He's alive and dead at the same time. So the dead one is not so happy. And what Schrodinger said was, so you've got this radioactive substance decaying, and as it decays, when it decays, the Geiger counter will register the decay, a hammer will fall, smash the flask, and release the hydrocyanic acid, hence release the cyanide gas, and kill the cat. As I said, it could have just been some poison. He eats it, he doesn't. But it had to be radioactivity and acid and hammers and Geiger counters. And that is basically it. But what you don't know how it's going to decay, the radioactive substance. So he postulated that after about an hour, there would be about a 50-50 chance that the hammer had fallen and the cat was dead. But it was 50-50 that the hammer hadn't fallen and the cat was alive. But you don't know until you open the box. So what he was saying was the cat at that moment is alive and dead, because you just don't know the state of the cat. And the only way to find out about the cat is to ruin the experiment, because you're going to have to open the box. But once you've opened the box, you've changed the experiment. Because if the cat's alive, if he's got any sense, he's going to leap out the box and run away as far as he can from Schrodinger. Okay? These Germans. And that basically, you'll hear it. It was all, if you watch, now I've mentioned it, you'll find it comes up again and again and again. It's a very popular thing. And yes, basically what it's trying to say is that you can't, even in the way that everything is connected, you can't even observe something without changing it. So scientists, when they do experiments, even just the fact that they're checking up on something changes it. When a doctor wants to check a patient, you know, have you got a tumour or not? Let's slice him open, pull the rib cage apart. Yeah, put it back in, sew them back up again. Go and see the patient. I mean, you might have more humane methods, but, you know, that's my basic picture. But whatever they do, doctors change the situation by getting involved. Hopefully for the better. But initially, they're going to make a diagnosis that sounds worse. Because you can be blissfully ignorant and not know what's wrong with you. And die, obviously, but you know. But, or you can be not so happy and find out what's wrong with you and hopefully get it treated. But there's going to be some intervention. It's going to change because you've intervened on it. And that's what Schrodinger's saying. What's that got to do with us? Well, it has everything to do with us. Because basically he's saying the way you react with things changes them. When I was a school teacher, I had a class of children, funnily enough, not monkeys, although it felt like that. You could react with those children. But I discovered that if your expectations of those children were of children that behave themselves, children that like to learn and study, children that like to read books, children that like their teacher, that was a good one, they started to match up with what you believed about them. Because the connection, the relationship is there. And this is why it's so important to walk by faith and not by sight. Because when you see somebody, they may look ill, sick, broken, distressed. But instead of focusing on that, we focus on who they really are in Christ. Because we can be dead and alive at the same time. Just like Schrodinger's cat. No Geiger counters involved. So what we speak is God's word. So that it's an alive cat. We can talk of one another. We speak positively of one another. It's so easy, isn't it, to even encouraging people to actually sound like, I don't think you're any good. I mean, we do it all the time, and hopefully it's okay most of the time because it's not really important. But, you know, if we do something, come on, let's pray. The implication is, you're not praying, you faithless bunch, isn't it, really? And actually, there's no faithless bunch in this room. You are a faithful bunch. And everybody was praying, But you just told them now that they're not praying, so and they'll have a reaction. But if we can just be more positive, let's pray. Let's go for it. This is great. Let's go further. Do you see the difference? We're starting to declare that the cat is alive. Yeah? And this is what we're doing as we give with this offering. The sums on that offering, if you've got your sheet, some of them look like, oh my goodness. You know? But we are declaring the cat is alive. I'm nearly there. I just want to show you this one. That's a picture from NASA on quantum mechanics. You say, but it's too hot. Yes, because NASA recognizes that quantum mechanics spills over into the way humans relate to one another, and we all have these moving connections, and that we're not isolated individuals, but we're people who are affected and by one another. The great thing about quantum mechanics is that in the relationships, the individual particles, they get their energy from relating to one another. So if a community becomes more effective at doing things together, the natural picture from science anyway, but I think also from the picture of the Holy Trinity in the body, is that we will have a greater energy. In other words, we will accomplish more and do more when we are together, which that then becomes quite obvious. You think, why did you even bother mentioning quantum mechanics, don't you? But yeah, I like that picture, though. The community itself, in touch with God, obviously, is generating that love and that energy that is generating love and energy that is generating love and energy. Isn't that great? What a fantastic picture. And so, and I like the fact that these kind of diagrams, they really do in those old flow charts that you do, you need to draw up the organizer. We've got one for this church, and you kind of need it to think about it, but I don't know how we can work it out that it's different, but normally, organizational churches are like this. They're like a pyramid, and you've got like somebody at the top and then these other layers, and you have this kind of hierarchical structure. But you don't get that in this model. Everybody's moving around and changing and taking on different roles. Nobody's fixed. You know? You may have a title for a while, I suppose, but actually your real title is Alex Bryan in Christ.
Amen.
Well, not yours isn't. Yours is Teresa's, okay? Don't get confused. You know, your real title is who you are in Christ. Not, oh, I am now the music director. I am now the senior leader. I am now a house church leader. I am now a guitarist. I mean, that is the coolest of the list, admittedly. I am now a guitarist. You know, those things are part of what we do, but they're not who we are. And that is not where our identity is to be. Our identity is who we are in Christ. Our identity is described to us by God himself. And everyone's different. They're all different colors. Here's one last model of... there's another model of quantum mechanics for you. That looks even more chaotic than that first one. But can you see, even within the chaos, you can begin to see patterns emerge. And... And there's part of me that doesn't fully. I don't know how you would draw a flowchart of who does what and that normal pyramid from that. It would look pretty. I don't know if it'd mean much. I mean, sometimes people then change it around the other way and you put the leader at the bottom, and that this is a really good model where so you're serving one another up, but you've still got this structure that's quite two-dimensional. It's almost like the only way really to model a community working would be to have a computer 3D model where everything is moving and moving around. So this week I'm working with Tony because he's had a brilliant idea about something we can do in his street and he needed me to help him. So I go and help him. Neither of us need a title to do, I don't know, what should we have? An afternoon tea party. That doesn't sound very likely, does it? But we're going to do it because we've realized, or he realized, this will work really, really well in my where I live. I need someone to help me. Paul, he bakes brilliant cakes. I'll ask him if he'll help me. I don't, so don't. But in this illustration, I join with him and we grab Martin to come along and bring the beer. And we have... Because we happen to know he's good at getting beer in. So, we now have a small group that goes and does something that is looking to be like that strong tower we had at the beginning, but looking outwards, but also moving in and welcoming people in and giving them a sense of belonging through a tea cake and beer party. Sounds a little odd. But you can see that none of us needed a title to do that. Yeah. Even though I am the senior leader, it was irrelevant to that. In fact, Tony's kind of in charge. And that's how it should be. You know? But it's going to be a little bit scary at times because it means different people take charge. We used to have a video, and I really should have got it sorted. Don't know, Dan, maybe you could do an absolutely random quick search on YouTube for it. We used to have a video that was a countdown video in our early days, and it was kind of prophetic because in this video, we had a green ball. Do you remember? Those of you that were around in those days, we had this green ball, and it gets thrown from one person to another. I mean, it does get a little bit held up with Kate and Dan at one point, because we did, you know, but that was just the film. But then it's passed. And so in those days, that's when we still had Lamplugh House as well. So you see the ball kicked. I think it's Alex Mayo. Kicks the ball in outside his house in Foxton, near Lamplugh. And I think it might even be me. Catches it on the beach. Or somebody else throws it from Scarborough. It's going through the Street Angels, and it lands in front of Richard as he's doing the grass cutter. Actually, he rides on it, but, you know, that was me riding on it. And he gets off his grass cutter and tosses it out the way, and somebody else catches it. But what it's showing is the passing of the anointing and the roles and the responsibilities, that it's for all. It's not, right, Brian is now the senior leader and will be until he's in a wooden box here at the front. All right, there can never be any change. Mind you, I don't think that's likely to happen. Can you imagine getting out the lift? We'll have a celebration. In many, many, many years to come. Beer and cake celebration. We've got it. It's all coming together. This is the mixing of the particles. No, but you see what I mean. It's all this interaction. And why it's difficult to talk about it and think about it and put it in place is I'm not sure anybody's done it. You remember Paul Manwaring saying there's something going on here that everybody else is talking about. And it's actually happening. That's incredible, that statement alone. But I think this is part of it. We're going to learn how to run with one another. Elka is doing the outreach. You didn't because it rained. Wednesday in a week. A week on Wednesday. Yeah, not next Wednesday.
On the 12th.
12th, that's a good, yeah, let's use numbers. This is why Newton was so good. You could just say numbers and everybody was sorted. And then quantum mechanics comes along. Actually, the numbers are still there, but we won't go into it. So Elka's leading that. Is she the Minister of Evangelism for Kingdom Faith Yorkshire? No. She's Elka. She has a passion. She has a vision. So she's going to do it. All right, that's how it works. Kay currently does have a title. She has the Youth Angels Coordinator title. Dan, did you not know that? Oh, stand up, take a bow. She's had it for a while. We've probably never actually said that, have we? But you wouldn't have noticed because Kay's just Kay. She's just running with it. That's actually brilliant. Yeah? Dan used to be the Youth Angels Coordinator. He's passed that role on to Kay. Dan is still the Youth Director. But you see, these labels are okay as long as we don't hold on to them. Yeah. If they start to become our identity. If Richard is like, I am the Finance Director until I retire at 110. Nobody else is getting near it. Yes, Lord. But, you know, things will change. There may come a day when God says, Paul, stand down, there's somebody else to take over. Well, there will come a day, I'm not immortal. But you know what I mean? Nothing we have is like, that's my role, that's who I am. I am not a senior pastor. I am Paul. I have a vision and a calling that I'm living out as a senior pastor, but that's not who I am. Kate is not a senior leader. Kate is Kate Abel in Christ. Great surname. And she is fulfilling the calling upon her life by being a senior leader in Christ. Does this all make sense? Oh yeah, he's finding that video. That's why that's happening. What one you found, Dan? That looks like a very old church news. Oh, and it's taking up the screens. I'll let him finish, have a go at that. I need to end. But you can see here, this is where, what I was talking about at this, if you were there, this is the divine dance. This is the perichoresis. This is the moving around, relating to different people, things changing. The senior leadership team, the leadership team of the church, it's not set in stone. It gives us a place of security to know who those people are, but it doesn't mean it doesn't change. It will change. Claire used to be the music director. Alex is the music director. She threw the ball at Alex and he caught it. He wasn't even expecting it to come. Boom! Oh! But actually, it will be like that sometimes. You just catch something. This is new. Rob and Lottie used to be totally and completely involved in the worship team, didn't you? You were there all the time, doing it all. All right, and then somebody threw them a curved ball that they weren't. Well, they were expecting it, but they weren't. And they got it, and it was like, run a coffee shop. And now they're fulfilling the call of God upon their lives. They're fulfilling what God has given them to do, running a coffee shop. And they've set up their own business and run with their own business. And that's what God has given them to do. And now there are other plans happening. But isn't that amazing? This is how it happens. People turn up, and then suddenly they realize they're part of this. You know? Actually, this is where I belong. And there's this constant movement and moving around. Okay. So that's what we're giving into. That's what we're giving into. That pattern that was up there, that pattern of dynamic energy, of change, of things moving around. It's not that people can come in and kick people out and say, I'm taking over now. No, that's not it at all. It's we're just joining in with what God's doing. So, Donna, she ran a women's day. Donna's not the women's leader. Well, Shona happens to have that title, but she's probably thrown it at you by now. You know, because these titles are just temporary anyway. And they belong to that old structure, really, anyway. Do we have to have a title to organise something? No. So she threw it at Donna, and Donna organised the day. Charlotte Guy has often had ideas and things to do with women. I hope and I pray that those kind of things take off and she gets the opportunity to do it, because someone will throw a ball at her and she can run with it, like a rugby ball. I think that's just going to be church news, Dan. Anyway, it will be the short version. Yeah, it was a countdown. We'll do it at the end. But let's take a break. Well, not disappear, but take a break, and let's do this summit offering. Okay, so you've had these blue sheets. I'll give you a quick reminder of what's on there, and I'll just give you very, very quickly how we're going to practically do it. If Peter, could you give out envelopes to absolutely everyone? If you don't need it, then give it back at the end. But take the envelope, because it's about giving and giving into what you want to give into, if you remember. Now, you can give a general gift. There's been a couple of those in. And all that means is if you just write Summit on it, on the envelope, it will just go into the Summit offering and we'll allocate it to where it's needed to go. Okay? If you want to specifically support something, just write from this sheet, though, because these are the ones that we've narrowed it down to, what you would like it to go to. Now, if we don't get enough in certain sections, our plan is that we reallocate so that some things happen rather than have lots of pockets of money sitting there. But if you are, I want to give into this and that's what I feel God's called me to, then write only. Okay? That's how we'll do it. So if you want to put it into the hub tables, for example, and that's what you really feel God has told you to do, and that will apply, I'm sure, to some people, write hub tables only. Okay? If we get too much for something, we will then obviously have to reallocate. Okay? But that's unlikely to happen, that everybody has financed one-off things and we've got too much. So there we go. Just to remind you of the different things that are on the list, because these are the things you can write on your envelope. Youth and support leader, that's Alex Bryan. That will fund him for another 12 months for 10 hours a week. And that roughly works out. He doesn't get all this money, by the way. It goes into things like, well, it'll be taxed for a start, won't it, your national insurance. But it's also things like the costs of employing him. It's very small compared to it, but that's 4,500. The creche heating system that's completely gone, which means once it gets cold, there's nothing in there at all. That's because of the nature of these units, which are great when it's hot, but they're 3,000 altogether, because it's this unit in here and the stuff that's on the roof that's got to be replaced. Steel worktops in the hub, 150. Metal tambour doors, three of them, 345 each. The replacement round tables for the hub, well, they're really going to go down there in the creche, but of course they come up here at different times as well. There's five of those, £80 each. Money for children and little builders. Due to fire regulations and a recent fire inspection, we have to build a cupboard to put all the children's stuff in. It can't go at the top of the stairs there. We can build a door to go there, but then it won't be big enough, so we've got to build a cupboard. And if we do have enough, we probably will put a door at the top of the stairs, but that'll be for other things. Tech team stuff, bulbs for lights, haze machine. The bulbs, £350. Replacement machine, 100. We can probably repair it for around a couple of hundred. Music equipment, there's things there, music stands, cables, but you could just put music equipment. 390. Okay, those are the specific things. But you, I don't know what, hopefully you've grabbed those and know what they are. If you want to remind yourself, we do have some sheets over there. You could just come and grab one. I'll grab one of those. There's three here. And you could sew into it. So, where are we at, Dan, with videos? Oh, just show the whole thing. Because what we'll do is we'll show it while we do the offering. And then you don't have to do the music. Time off. Is it working, Dan? 2 seconds. He's been searching through our internet channels, probably. It's ready to go, is it? Okay, well, we'll take the offering. Father God, we just thank you that you provide for us in every way. And Father, just as we get so into this offering and as we see this old video, we're reminded that we are one community altogether, and that this anointing and the call and the roles that we have constantly is passing from one to another as we just join in with the dance of the Trinity, the dynamic intertwining life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that you've called us to be part of this vision. Thank you that you've called us to be here. And Father, we thank you right now for everything that's given, and for the cost and the sacrifice that individuals are making as we go through these offering over this week. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.